Clue is holding him on, which means he's got the right side of that diamond to hit through.
There you see the first base area with Woody held on base. 2-2. Ball two, strike two. Chuck Tanner pinch hitting for Strickland in the batter's box. A little high. Ball three, strike two. Well, he'll have to come in with one now.
Well, this will make it an even battle between the batter and the pitcher now, because Wynn must come over that plate. And Gordon, of course, has the option of running held at first base to prevent a double play.
Nobody out. Time. Now Klazuski is moving back of the base runner there at first. 3-2. Gonna give him a chance to lead off and run. Another foul ball. Ball three, strike two. Klazuski, instead of holding the runner on first in this spot, has moved off the bag to guard against that big hit down the line.
The reason for this, Jack, Lopez wants to protect an extra base hit down the first baseline, and Klazuski, of course, does not move too well, so he's moved Klazuski back of the runner. We're not worried about held. We're worried about the hitter at this particular time. He's the tying run.
He's also moved Bubba Phillips over to left center just now. So that means that maybe they'll pitch him outside anyway, Lou. Ball three, strike two. Foul ball. No, dropped third strike, but of course it doesn't mean a thing. There was a man on base. It was a swing and a miss. The ball popped out of Romano's mitt, and we thought for a moment that that had been a foul ball. But Tanner has struck out. And now we're getting a pinch hitter for Perry. This is Coleman. This is Coleman. Been at bat once, and he has one base hit, a triple. Coleman batting for Perry. Man on base, one away. Fifth inning.
Jack, this is a youngster that hits the long ball. He's a hard swinger. He's just come up from their farm system. He's hit 35 home runs in the minor league. Gordon likes him very well. He swings at bad balls, but he'll hit the long ball for him.
It's the White Sox 2, the Indians nothing, and there's a man on base with one away. That is a ball, ball one. There is Staley. Sox bullpen, Jerry Staley. watchful eye of Ray Berry's out there. Ball one. Outside. Ball two. 2-0. Ball two, no strikes. One away. Ball two, no strikes. Strike, curveball. Ball two, strike one. Took just a little off the speed on that curveball. I wouldn't call it a half-speed curve. If I were to venture a guess, I'd say it's about a three-quarter speed curve, Lou.
Yes, that was the slider, I think, Jack. But wind still working on the outside corner of these left-handed hitters.
Ball two, strike one. There's a ground ball bouncing out back a second. Aparicio makes a play on it, throws. Too late. Safe all around. It's an infield single back of second base for Coleman, putting men on first and second. Here you see JoJo White, the coach at third, talking to the next hitter, Pearsall. With one out, there are Cleveland runners on first and second. Cleveland then has the tying runs on base here in the fifth inning. The White Sox ahead, 2-0. Pearsall is 0-2. Back of the plate. Strike one. Outfield straight away and deep. Sox infield hoping for that double play ball. Everybody in that infield talking it up. Strike one. There's a pretty well hit ball on the line to left center. That's a base hit. Bubba Phillips makes a one-hand pickup out there. One run is in, and the runner on first goes to third. Jimmy Pearsall has just driven in the first Cleveland run. There are Cleveland runners on first and third. Pearsall on first, Coleman on third, Woody Held scored, one out, and Vic Power is up. That is the third hit off Wynn. Crowd is wild. Powers 0-2, sent one very deep fly to left. That's a ball outside. Ball one. Pearsall forced at second. Aparicio to Fox to Klazuski, and boy, talk about a big double play. That was really it. One run, two hits, no errors, one left. At the end. end of five. The score, the Chicago White Sox 2, the Cleveland Indians 1.
Struck out one and walked two.
All right, ball one now to Romano,
who is 0 for 2 in the ball game. That's a strike. One and one.
The White Sox 2, the Indians 1. WGN Television. It's baseball exclusively yours on Channel 9. The White Sox in Cleveland from Cleveland.
Curve is high. Ball two, strike one.
The White Sox will fly home immediately following tonight's game. They have the United Airlines charter waiting for them here. They'll be in Chicago Wednesday and Thursday, and Thursday night they'll fly to Detroit for the opening of the series, which will end the season. There's a very deep fly to center. Pearsall's way back near the fence for this, and he pulls it in about 400 feet away. Johnny Romano really gave that one a ride. That brings up Al Smith. Al has a strikeout and a line fly to left. The wind is a little gusty. Every once in a while you get a little puff of fresh air here, but for the most part the air is heavy tonight in Cleveland. So I don't think the wind is too much of a factor at this point. It seems to be picking up a little bit from what it was at the start of the ball game. Now, The plate umpire Summers has told one of the photographers that he is a little bit too close to the play, and he's in a kind of a live area down there near the dugout, so would he please move, which he has. Al Smith up. Strike one. Sixth inning, Milwaukee 2, Pittsburgh 1. High foul, bouncing to Cuccinello there in the coach's box at third. 0-2, hit right at the plate and bounced real high. Detroit, having signed Jimmy Dykes to a new contract for next year, proceeded to beat Kansas City 6-4 today. 0-2. That's a ball. 1-2. Ball one, strike two. Smitty's average is only 236, but he'd still like to see him come up there with men on base. There's a fly ball back to left. That's pretty deep back there. It is gone. It's a home run. Hey! A home run over the left field wall by Al Smith, and the White Sox lead by a score of 3-1. Al Smith has just walloped number 16. Attaboy, Smitty! Whee! Boy! Manoso never did want to give up on that. He went all the way back to the fence on the thing, and then all of a sudden just had to give it that helpless look. And there's the big welcome in the White Sox dugout for Al Smith, the White Sox left fielder, who has just walloped a home run and stunned the crowd here at Cleveland. Rivera in the batter's box, and the pitch is high, ball one. One out. Nobody on. Sixth inning, the White Sox 3, the Indians 1. Rivera, 0 for 2. Strike on that curveball, 1 and 1. Ball 1, strike 1. That's pretty well hit. That may be gone. Yes, it is. It's going to be gone way back. Hey, hey! A right field homer for Rivera. Attaboy, Jimmy. Boy, did he kiss that one. Man alive, Rivera really belted that one. That is home run number 3 for Jungle Jim. The score of the ball game, the White Sox 4, the Indians 1. There's that 3-1 lead we've been hoping for, Lou.
That ball was really kissed, Jack. That was a line drive over 450 feet away from the plate. And that gives Wynn a 3 runs now to work on. That was a big run.
Mudcat Grant has just dished up back-to-back home run balls. to Smith and Rivera. Bubba Phillips up now. He has one for two and a run score. There's a drive to left for Bubba. Base hit. Phillips on base now with a single, and that brings up the pitcher Early Win. And out there in the Cleveland bullpen, there's a young fellow by the name of Gary Bell warming up right now. Well, just about the time that Al Smith got that home run, the Western Union ticker began to buzz back of us, and we saw where Smith hit a home run. And that would be Hal Smith, the St. Louis Cardinal catcher, only his came with the bases full against Los Angeles in that first inning. So it's a good night for the Smiths. The catcher, Nixon, went out to talk to Grant a little bit, and I have a hunch he was not only trying to soothe him a little bit, but I think he may be stalling, giving Bell some time to warm up, Lou, huh?
Well, there's no doubt about it that our White Sox power came into use here, Jack, in the top of the sixth with two home runs and a base hit off of three successive pitches by Grant, and therefore the catcher was told to go out and take a little time.
Lou, I've seen you use up some of your very, very best oratory stalling in that spot.
I almost got thrown out of one game trying to stall too much, Jack.
All right. This is Early Win. There's a man on base. One away. We're in the sixth inning. And Win pulled the bat back from the bunt. Ball one. Ball one to Early. He was 0 for 2. He hit it real hard the last time up. A line shot right at Vic Power. It's head-to-head, the White Sox and Cleveland tonight at Cleveland, with the White Sox out in front 4-1 here in the sixth inning, and Bubba Phillips on base with one away. Pull the bat back from that one. It's a strike call, 1-1. No bunt yet by Early. Grant coming in with two very good fastballs. And now Tony Cuccinello, the third base coach, is coming down to have a little talk with Early so that there can be no doubt about getting those signals straight.
Well, Jack, usually you have a switch sign on your bunt. That means if the rub above the belt means to bunt on the first pitch and the coach will rub again above the belt, it will switch it to the hit. And once that the hitter gets mixed up on the right switch, the coach has got to talk with him and get straight.
1-1. Throw to first. The runner is Bubba Phillips and Francona, the first baseman. Keeps tagging him, hoping that it'll catch him with that hand or foot off the base, and he's getting nowhere with it. 1-1. There's a ground ball bouncing out to Held, the shortstop, over to second out. Here's the relay by Vic Power. Safe. Early Win, 39 years old, beat it out. So it's a fielder's choice and a force on Bubba Phillips, and that brings up Aparicio with Win on base. Two down, sixth inning. Al Smith and Rivera have teed off on Mudcat Grant's fastballs. And one more like that, and Mudcat's name will be shortened to Mud. Here's Aparicio. Little Louie has hit safely the last two times up, a double and a single. Scored one run. There's a liner. Bounces off the glove of third baseman Lake. The throw to second in time to force Win. So that was a good recovery then by Leak. Two runs on three hits. No errors. One left. And now we're going into the Cleveland half of the sixth inning, and the score out here at Municipal Stadium in Cleveland is the Chicago White Sox 4 and the Cleveland Indians 1. Jim Rivera in right, Goodman at third, Aparicio at short, Fox at second, Klazuski at first. The pitcher is Early Win. The catcher is Johnny Romano. The score of the ball game: the White Sox 4, the Indians 1. Yes, it's exciting baseball. And boy, they must have had some excitement today at Wrigley Field, too, Lou, with Altman belting that one in the ninth inning with one on. Huh?
Well, that's terrific. That kid has done a great job, Jack. He hit two home runs in the last road game at St. Louis. And the patience and teaching of Sheffing certainly deserves a lot of credit with that youngster. And he's developed into what I, in my opinion, the outstanding rookie in the National League. It was a tough defeat for the Giants.
Well, the Cubs moved ahead of Cincinnati temporarily with that win today because Cincinnati lost the first game to the Phillies in that Twilight Night doubleheader. Now, if Cincinnati does win that second game, the Cubs and Cincinnati will be in a virtual tie for fifth. Pittsburgh, as you know, by this time clinched a fourth-place finish. So the battle for the Cubs now is to try to make it to fifth. And don't forget the Cubs play San Francisco. They're going to try to ruin Bill Rigney's road trip completely before he even has a chance to leave Chicago by winning that ball game tomorrow. And of course, over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Chicago Cubs will have perhaps one of the most important weekends of the entire National League season, because they'll have a big voice in that National League championship when they play Los Angeles right after San Francisco. At the end of one inning at St. Louis, as a result of the bases full home run by Hal Smith, the catcher, St. Louis 4, Los Angeles 3. Now, here is Francona, a real slugger, stepping in the sixth inning for Cleveland. He'll be followed by Manoso, then Nixon. That's a ball, ball one. White Sox finish up the season Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Detroit. And, of course, all the White Sox fans are hoping that they'll be just enjoying themselves and playing baseball for the sheer love of playing baseball by the time that series comes around. That's a pretty well-hit ball on the line to center. Base hit, played on the hop by Bubba Phillips. Francona has singled. That brings up Manoso.
Here in the fourth and in the fifth. So Lopez is not going to take too many chances. Wynn, of course, has had a tough ball game here for five innings.
Here's Minnie. That's a ball. Gets away from Earl Batty, who is now catching. Earl Batty is now catching in place of Romano. Earl Batty, a more experienced receiver, has gone in to catch here in the sixth inning in place of Romano. And Shaw is working in the White Sox bullpen. Shaw. Ball one. Earl Batty is in a little better spot to handle that knuckler of Early's in case he decides to throw it. I think that may be part of the strategy here, Lou, plus the fact that he's more experienced as a catcher and a handler of pitchers than Romano. There's a ball. 2-0. Francona on base. Manoso has been on base once. He was hit by a pitch ball. And the last time at bat, he sent one way out the center field, and Phillips made a nice running catch. 2-0. Nobody out. That's pretty well hit. That's gone, I think. Let's wait. Wait a minute. No, Biddy got it. Oh, boy. When that left the bat, it looked like it might be gone, Lou.
Well, it was hit very well, Jack, but it was sinking out there. If that ball would have been rising, of course, it would have been gone. But in the process of going out to left field, Manoso got on top of that ball, and it was what we'd call a sinker, and Smitty went back to take it easily.
In other words, he hit it like a top ball in golf almost.
That's right.
With downspin on it, huh? Overspin?
He had an overspin on it.
Well, even if they catch him, I hope he doesn't hit any more like that for my sanity, as well as the Sox fans and the folks both here and out there in television who are watching. Now, here's Nixon, who has a single and was safe on an error by Louie the last time at bat, so he's one for two. Man on base, one out. That is a ball. Ball one. Ball one. White Sox 4, the Indians 1. Sixth inning at Cleveland. Ground ball. Pass Fox into right field. That's a base hit. The runner on first races for third. The throw by Rivera is cut off by Aparicio. And now with Colavito at bat, there are men on first and third. And Colavito at the plate represents the tying run. Colavito has hit two flies to the outfield, one to left and a very deep one to center.
Well, Lopez just asked Berries in the bullpen if Shaw was ready. It's a tough decision here for the manager. Shaw, of course, is ready at the present time, but Wynn is capable of getting out of jams, which he did in the bottom of the fifth. This is a tough inning for him, and let's hope that he's got enough to get out of it.
White Sox 4, the Indians 1, sixth inning. Runners on first and third, Cleveland. That's a strike. That was a slider. Strike one. One out. Francona on third, Nixon on first. Strike. Another curveball, 0-2. Palavito looking down to that third base coach, JoJo White. 0-2. With 108 runs batted in to also lead the league in that department. In the batter's box here, representing the tying run, there are men on first and third. The White Sox have a 3-run lead, 4-1. Early win, trying to get past this very dangerous young man. Ball one, strike two.
Keep that ball down, Jack, in order for a double play. And actually, if Wynn is sharp with his control, why, he can get this ball where he wants to, and this kid will strike out.
2-2. Phillips has a play on it. It should bring a run in. Bubba pulls it in, and the runner on third scores. No play on him as Colavito sends a deep sacrifice fly to center field, scoring Francona. Here comes Lopez out. Nixon is on first base with two out. And the score is now the White Sox 4, the Indians 2. And with a man on base and two out, Woody Held is the batter. Al Lopez coming out. Had Bob Shaw warming up.
Well, Jack, Wynn has had it, and when Wynn does not have his control, Lopez knows that he is done. There was a balls hit in this inning very well. Actually, we got by with a pitch on Colavito that was high and went to deep left center. Wynn realizing it, it was very hot out there on the mound. He's had a tough ball game. In fact, he's pitched 9 innings in the 6 innings that he's worked. And Lopez, sensing that, has brought in Shaw to relieve.
Down there at the dugout, a host of photographers are taking Early's picture. And it looks to me like Sherman Lawler is going to catch now. This game is in the sixth inning. Woody Held will be the first man to face Bob Shaw. And Sherman Lawler has come in to catch, bad hand and all. So now the White Sox setup reads Smith in left, Phillips in center, Rivera in right, Goodman at third, Aparicio at short, Fox at second, Kluszewski at first, a battery of Shaw and Sherman Lawler. The third White Sox catcher. Let's hope that nothing happens to Lawler. Wynn pitched 5 2/3 innings. Gave up 2 runs, 5 hits. Struck out 2 and walked 2. And there's a man on base who, if he scores, can be charged to Wynn. The man at the plate, Woody Held, represents the tying run, because the White Sox lead by a score of 4-2. In case you just joined us, although I can't imagine where you've been on this night, the White Sox got 2 runs in the third inning, when with one out, Phillips singled, and then 1 out later, Aparicio doubled, Fox walked, and Goodman doubled, and the Sox got a couple of runs. In the sixth inning with 1 out, Smith and Rivera hit back-to-back homers off Grant. Cleveland's run, first run, came in the fifth inning. And now in the sixth inning, they've nudged another run across here. They have a man on base, 2 out, and Shaw is facing Woody Held, Bob Shaw. And that is strike one. Shaw throws a great sinker. He's won 17 and lost 6. His earned run average is 2.74. He has pitched 223 innings. Struck out 88, walked 54. Strike one. One and one. Ball one, strike one. Al Lopez is trying to win it right now because he's going with his starting pitcher, Shaw, in relief. There's a ground ball taken by Goodman at third. The short throw to second to Fox forces Russ Nixon, and that retires the side. 1 run, 2 hits on the sacrifice fly, no errors, and 1 left. And so at the end of 6 complete innings, the score, the White Sox 4, the Indians 2.
A gasoline in a bad hand. I'm kind of wondering, Lou, who the third, who if something happens to Lawler, would catch for the White Sox. It would have to be either Bubba Phillips or Billy Goodman, or possibly Esposito. My hunch would be between Goodman and Phillips. Now, you had Goodman. Did he ever do any catching?
Yes, he'll catch in an emergency status, Jack, but let's hope we don't get to that state in this ball game.
I remember a 14-inning ball game at Comiskey Park one day, and all of a sudden, you could hear the tissue paper crack on a brand-new catcher's mitt, and out came a guy named Boudreau to catch before the day was over. Did you ever get that mitt really broken in? Or was that
no.
The only time you ever used it?
That was the only time, Jack. I didn't catch many balls either. They missed me.
All right. Here's Nelson Fox now as we go into the White Sox half of the seventh. Gary Bell, the pitcher. Bell has a record of 16 wins and 11 losses, earned an average of 3.94. They've got Harshman in the bullpen. Fox tries to bunt. It's foul. Strike one. That's Jack Harshman.
Well, when you and I were over here last, Lou, Harshman was hot, was the starting pitcher, and the Sox jumped all over him and won the ball game 7-3, and that was the start of the big, famous, by this time, very famous, four-game sweep over here. Strike one. Foxy pulled the bat away from that one, 1-1. Nelson Fox so far has been at bat twice officially without a hit. He has a walk in the third inning, and it's 1-1 now. Choking that bat up pretty much. A little high. Ball two, strike one. Los Angeles and St. Louis are tied 4-4, second inning. In the eighth inning, Milwaukee 5, Pittsburgh 1. Ball two, strike one. There's a fly ball back to left. Manoso is there for it. Minnie playing a shallow left field. Took that line fly by Fox. One out. Goodman up. Goodman has two hits and three at-bats, a double and a single. One out. That's a little low. Ball one. White Sox 4, the Indians 2. It's the seventh inning. Strike. 1-1. Strike. Ball one, strike two to Billy. Curveball, low and inside, 2-2. Ball two, strike two. There's a ground ball rolling out to Power, the second baseman. Vic throws, and Goodman is out. Two out. Pazuski up. Two out. Nobody on. Here is Klazuski. There's a high, very high pop-up. And coming down the line for it, Francona takes it a few feet foul, and that retires the side. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left. So we've already had our seventh inning stretch. Now the crowd here is having theirs as we go into the Cleveland half of the seventh. Leak and the pitcher Bell, and then the leadoff man Pearsall are due up. The score, the White Sox 4, the Indians 2. They've been first since the 28th of July. They've been in first place for 53 days now in this 1959 season. And now we're playing at Municipal Stadium in Cleveland, in a game which, if the White Sox win it, will end the American League race for 1959, insofar as determining a champion is concerned. Right at this minute, with the score 4-2, so far as we're concerned, the place would be better named Blood Pressure Bowl. WGN Television, I'm Jack Brickhouse. With me is Lou Boudreau, and believe me, we've both seen lots and lots of ball games, Lou, and we, with luck, will see lots and lots more, but I have to confess that I feel the pressure, and I'm wondering about you.
Well, certainly, Jack. The pressure is building up here. Even though the White Sox have a two-run lead, this Cleveland ball club has threatened through this ball game, and as we've mentioned before, they have the long ball, so actually two runs does not mean much. Lopez, realizing that, has come in relief of Early Wynn with his starting ace this year in Shaw.
Now we're going to get a pinch hitter. It's Vallow, Elmer Vallow, the veteran, who is hitting 286 for the year right now. He has six hits in 21 at-bats, all singles, and he's batting in place of the third baseman, Leake. Elmer Vallow. Jim Landis has gone to center field. Jim Landis. Bubba Phillips is at third. And that is ball one. Bubba Phillips is now playing third. Landis is in center. That means Goodman's out. There's Landis. Out of the hospital and into a uniform. Vallow takes a ball. 2-0. Well, that eliminates Billy Goodman as a catcher in case something happens to Lawler or Lou.
Well, that's true. But here's our best ball club, Jack, and that's what Lopez was waiting for in the seventh inning. He's got his best ball club in there defensively in the last three innings of this game.
Ball two, strike one now to Vallow as Bob Shaw, whose sinker ball and splendid concentration and conscientiousness and conditioning has made him a real top star. There's a high foul out of play. 2-2. Ball two, strike two. Ball two, strike two. There's a tap. Fair ball down the third baseline. Phillips has it. Here's the throw. Oh, a good strong arm, and Vallow tumbled as he hit first base. Fine play by Bubba. And there you see a perfect example of some of that real patience of Al Lopez asserting itself, because I can still see Lopez 2 years ago at Tampa all by himself, hour after hour, hitting ground balls to Bubba Phillips to make a third baseman out of him. Boy, did he work with this guy. Now, coming into bat in place of Gary Bell is Jack Harshman, who is, of course, a top pitcher with this ball club and also has, on occasion, been used as a pinch hitter. Jack can hit that ball pretty well. He has eight hits this year. He has one double and one home run. As a pitcher, Harshman has won 7 and lost 10, but he's 5-1 with Cleveland. One out. Nobody on. Foul ball. Strike one. We're in the last half of the seventh. The Chicago White Sox 4. The Indians 2. That's a ball. Curveball broke down that time. Ball one, strike one. Outfield to the right and deep. Right fielder Rivera's backed up real well. 1-1. There's a ground ball back of first. Klazuski has it with those sure hands of his. Steps on first, two down. That brings up Pearsall, who got a big clutch hit the last time up, a single, which drove in a run and set up a beautiful chance with one out, putting men on first and third for the Indians to tie up the ball game at that time. And instead, Power behind him hit into a double play that started with Aparicio, and that was that. Pearsall's 1-for-3. One of the most intense men in baseball, Jimmy Pearsall. There's one right through the box, a base hit. That one nearly hit Bob Shaw in the shin. That brings up Power. Pearsall on base, two out. Vic Power, 0-for-3. Started the night as 291 hitter. Well, this fella represents the tying run there at the plate. Man on base, Sox ahead, 4-2 in the seventh inning. Strike one. The last time Cleveland was at Chicago, I remember Mr. Power getting a hit that really hurt the White Sox and cost him a one-run ball game. Strike one. There's a ground ball bouncing out back a second. Fox can't make the play. The ball bounced out of his glove. There was no way he could make the play. Safe all around. Francona up with two on. Look out. That is a base hit. Now with men on first and second and two out, Francona is the batter. Nobody going in the White Sox bullpen right now. Francona the batter, 1-for-3, a single. Strike one. I kind of thought maybe Pearsall would try for second and try out Sherman Lawler's hand, Lou.
No, not with two outs, Jack, plus the fact the tying run was at the plate.
Two on, two out, tie. 0-2. That sinker coming in there beautifully right at the knees. Two. There's a ground ball rolling out to Fox. He drops it, picks it up, throws in time. Oh, boy. Again, the ball took a hop on Foxy, but this time he was able to recover and get his man. No runs, two hits, no errors, two left. That's the end of seven. And the score out here, and boy, am I going to need this minute to relax and catch my breath now, is the White Sox 4, the Indians 2. The White Sox 4, the Indians 2. Jack Harshman, 7-10 for the year, 5-1 since coming to Cleveland, facing Sherm Lawler. Lawler will be followed by Al Smith and Rivera as we move into the eighth inning. Baxis is now playing third for Cleveland. And that is ball one to Lawler. Ball one. That's Baxis, third baseman. There's a hard hit ball, but it's caught by Baxis. Lawler lined hard to Baxis at third. Well, since Lawler's right hand is the one that's hurt, I'm still glad to be able to see Sherman pull that ball hard, Lou.
Yes, he hit that ball very well, Jack, and Baxis played it like a veteran. He followed it all the way.
That brings up Al Smith, who belted a home run over the left field wall the last time up, his 16th home run of the year. One out, nobody on. That's strike one. Letter high right in there. Strike one. Harshman will throw, among other things, the usual assortment of pitches plus a screwball. There's a ground ball to deep short, picked up by Woody Held. Here's a long throw to first in time. Two down. Nice play by Held. That brings up the right fielder Rivera. Out. Here is Jungle Jim. Rivera on base, two down. Big crowd tonight, 54,293. That's a high fly to left. Running in hard is Minoso, going out is Held. And Woody Held makes this one. And that retires the side. No runs, one hit. No errors, one left. We are going into the Cleveland half of the eighth inning. The score out here is the White Sox 4, Cleveland 2. And coming to bat for these Indians will be Minoso, Nixon, and Colavito. Some real big thump in that Cleveland batting order coming up in this eighth inning. That brings up Nixon. Nobody out. This is Nixon, who has two hits and three at-bats and was safe on the only error in this ballgame the other time up. There you see a left-hander Billy Pierce and the right-hander Jerry Staley working in the Sox bullpen. A moment ago, Lapman was also warming up. Now here's the catcher, Russ Nixon, with a man on base, eighth inning, nobody out, Sox 4, Cleveland 2. There's a ground ball rolling out to Fox, over to second, out. Here's the relay, double play! A big double play. Boy, was that a big one. That is the third Sox double play tonight. That's two out. That brings up Colavito. Two out now in the eighth inning. Rocky Colavito has batted in a run with a sacrifice fly. He's 0 for 2 in the ballgame. He's hit the ball well every time up. He hit a deep fly to left, fairly deep fly to left, on which Smith made a magnificent throw to Nip Minoso, who was trying to score from third. Then he sent Bubba Phillips nearly 400 feet from the plate for his fly ball in the fourth. And his sacrifice fly deep to center in the sixth inning, last time up, brought in a run. There's a big swing. One and one. Ball one, strike one. Bob Shaw, the pitcher. That's a curve, low and away. Ball two, strike one. There's a high bouncing ground ball. Louis takes it on the big hop, runs, then throws, and he is out. Between Gordon and Lane in the speculation. Shaw takes a strike, strike one. Joe Gordon is probably through win, lose, or draw this year at the end of the season at Cleveland. Matter of fact, if they lose this one tonight, Harder may manage the team for the rest of the year. One and one. Our hunch, Joe Gordon to manage Kansas City next year. And the Cleveland job may go to DeRocher, but also in the running, according to the rumors around here, are Freddie Hutchinson, who's at Cincinnati, and Charlie Dressen. One and one. There's a high foul ball off the bat handle, off to the right, and out of play. Ball one, strike two. Bob Shaw, the White Sox pitcher, is up. Harshman throws. Foul ball. One and two. Ball one, strike two. Third inning, St. Louis 9, Los Angeles 6. We'll wrap them all up for you on the 10th inning following the game. One and two. There's a bat handle foul off to the right, and again, out of reach. of first baseman Tito Francona. Ball one, strike two. That's a ball. Ball three, strike two to Shaw. Ball three, strike two. There's a bat handle foul. Out of play. 3-2 to Bob Shaw, the pitcher, leading off in the White Sox ninth. Ball three, strike two. Strike call. Bob Shaw called out on strikes. Ninth inning. Aparicio, the shortstop, is up. Louis has two hits in four at-bats, a single and a double. One run scored. And one batted in. One Phillips scored all the way from first on Louis's double to right. Strike one. I don't know if you can hear that White Sox bench yelling on this microphone or on our crowd mic, but they sure are yelling it up. That's a ball, 1-1. Strike, all the way around, 1-2 to Little Louie. Ball one, strike two. Outfield straight away, not too deep. There's a ground ball. Slow roller, Baxis picks it up, throws hard, and gets his man. Very fine play by Jim Baxis. Two out. Nelson Fox up. 0-3, walked once. White Sox 4, the Indians 2, ninth inning. Harshman sets. There's a fly ball out to left. Manoso's going over and back. Minnie hauls it in. Three up, three down for the White Sox in the ninth. No run, no hits, no errors, and nobody left. Now we are going into the last half of the ninth inning. Batting first will be Woody Held. He'll be followed by Baxis. And then the pitcher Harshman will be due up. Going out for the Chicago White Sox, Al Smith is in left field. Jimmy Landis is in center field. And Jim Rivera is in right field. Bubba Phillips is at third base. Louis Aparicio is at shortstop. Nelson Fox is at second base. Ted Kluszewski at first base. Bob Shaw is the pitcher. He came on in the sixth. And the catcher is Sherman Lawler, who also came on in the sixth inning. The plate umpire tonight is Bill Summers, the veteran. First base umpire is McKinley. The second base umpire is Soar. The third base umpire is Shylock. The Chicago White Sox, as we go into the Cleveland half of the ninth inning, have four runs on nine hits and one error. The Indians, two runs on eight hits and no errors. A crowd of 54,293 people Buzzing with excitement now as Woody Held steps in. And there is a curveball, strike, strike one. Held has been on base once. He walked and scored in the fifth inning. He is 0 for 2. He was the first man Shaw faced when Bob came in the sixth inning with two out, and he hit into a forced play. There's a high fly ball out into short right. Nelson Fox back on the grass, calls for the ball. He takes it, one out. And Jim Baxis is due up. He'll be batting for the first time. Jim Baxis, a muscular fellow, has a batting average of .233. He has 15 home runs and 34 runs batted in. He's at bat with one out in the ninth and nobody on. And there is strike one called. Strike one in the ninth inning to Baxis of Cleveland. Shaw throws, strike two, 0-2. It is a no ball, strike two count. The outfield is deep, it is straight away. Now the left fielder Smith has been motioned over to the left a little bit and he's playing Baxis to pull the ball somewhat. 0-2. There is a fastball outside, ball one, strike two to Baxis. One and two. Bounces in to Lawler. Ball two. Strike. Here we go. There's a liner, a soft liner back a second. It bounces to Fox, who throws to Aparicio, hoping maybe Louis can make the play, but he can't. And so, it is an infield single, now back a second base for Baxis. That means that the man coming to bat, Harshman, represents the tying run in the last half of the ninth inning. Jack Harshman, who came in as a pinch hitter in the seventh inning and grounded out to Klazuski, and who stays on to pitch in place of Gary Bell. He is the fourth pitcher used by the Indians tonight. And with a man on base and one away in the last half of the ninth inning, that's Harshman in the batter's box now. We are getting a pinch runner. Webster. Webster is running in place of Baxis. This is Ray Webster, an infielder. One out. Nelson Fox is pretty deep at second base. Aparicio moves over towards second. There's a ground ball foul down the first base side. Strike one. One out. One on. That's a ball. Ball one, strike one. White Sox 4, Cleveland 2. That's a ball. Outside. Ball two, strike one. Ball two, strike one. There's a line drive, base hit to right field. Webster held up a moment, now advances to second. There are Cleveland runners on first and second with one out, and Pearsall is up. We are getting a pinch runner for Harshman. Hardy, number 30, Hardy is running. Number 30, former pro football player Carroll Hardy is running for Harshman. So you have Hardy on first and Webster on second. They represent the tying runs in the ninth inning. And there is Pearsall, who has hit safely the last two times up. He singled in the fifth and again in the seventh. Loun and Staley are in the bullpen. Loun and Staley. Here is Pearsall. One out. That's a strike. Fastball, strike one, thrown by Bob Shaw. That's a ball, 1-1. Ball one, strike one. There's a ground ball. Drew Fox in the short right. The runners start to move. The bases are full. A hard line drive. Handcuffed Nelson Fox. He moved over as quickly as he could. Had he been able to make a clean pickup, it might have been a double play ball. It goes for a base hit for Pearsall, his third straight. And now with the bases full and one out, here comes Al Lopez out. Here is Al Lopez for Cleveland. Pearsall is on first. Hardy is on second. Webster is on third. With one out, Vic Power will be the batter. Jerry Staley is being called in. Coming in now is Staley. So far, Jerry has won 8 and lost 4 this year. He has been in 64 ball games. This makes his 65th relief appearance. He has pitched 113 innings. He has struck out 53 and walked 22. His earned run average is 2.15. Jerry Staley. ...39-year-old Staley, who the White Sox pitching staff refers to as Dad. All of them call him Dad. Came up to the majors first in 1947. He's been in organized baseball since 1941. And Al Lopez has now motioned to the bullpen for a lefty to start working. That lefty will probably be Pierce. Loun and Pearce are in the bullpen. Cleveland has the bases full. One out in the last half of the ninth inning. The White Sox have made 3 double plays tonight. What a spot for number 4. Webster on third, Hardy on second, Pearsall on first, and dangerous Vic Power is up. One out. A crowd of over 54,000 people absolutely rooted to their seats, riveted to the edges of their seats at Cleveland. WGN television, here we go. Power is 1-for-4, an infield single. There's a ground ball. Aparicio has a steps on second, throws to first. The ball game's over. The White Sox are the champions of 1959. A 40-year wait has now ended. The White Sox have won it. The White Sox have won it. A double play by Louie. He grabbed the ball. He stepped on second. He fired to first. And pandemonium reigns in Chicago, I know. Strike those sirens. Blow those whistles. Break that furniture. Do whatever you want. Lou Boudreau is down in the dressing room. You know we're going to have a dressing room show. You know that, ladies and gentlemen. The White Sox have just won their 15th game of the year from Cleveland. And a stunned crowd in Cleveland who had the bases full with only one out and dangerous power at bat a matter of seconds ago is now trying to file its morose and sullen and unhappy and semi-conscious way to the exits here. The White Sox dugout is crazy. And there is a shot as they go in the dressing room. And we're going to have a dressing room show for you in just a moment. And I'll be back in a moment with a recap on this game. All right, here are the totals, ladies and gentlemen, for the White Sox, the American League champions for 1959. 4 runs, 9 hits, 1 error. Winning pitcher win, 21-10. And for Cleveland, 2 runs, 11 hits, and no errors. The losing pitcher, Perry. Time of the game, I don't have any idea how long it ran, and I'm not going to go bother to look now. 54,293 people. It's all over in the American League. And we want you to stay with us now for the 10th inning, because you know and I know the 10th inning is going to be a real big ball down in that clubhouse. Incidentally, before I sign off, though, I want to say this. The White Sox are going to arrive on a United Charter approximately 1:15 now, we think, Chicago time, at that National Guard Armory, which will be at 63rd Street near Central, I believe, southwest at the airport. That'll be about 1:15, and I'd sure like to see some people there, and I guarantee I may beat that plane just flying under my own steam. Anyway, I'll be back in just a moment with the 10th inning. And so far as Hamilton, Oklahoma are concerned, you know that that's it. But what an it for today.
The greatest thrills I've ever had. I really enjoyed this whole year. And I don't know when I enjoyed a game more than I did tonight, although I think I was more tense than I ever been in my life.
Well, you probably were, and there was certainly justification for it. How did you feel out there?
Well, I was getting pretty tired, Bob. I didn't let up any all night. I didn't throw a change of pace all evening. Everything was just as hard as I could throw. I figured if when I give out, well, he'd have somebody else ready.
Now, early I was saying during the ball game that the White Sox pitching staff has done a terrific job on Colavito and on Vic Power. What do you fellas, what have you tried to do with them? And you've certainly done it so successfully as you did with Colavito tonight.
Well, we all know they're good high ball hitters, and that's their long ball. They're going to get their base hits. You can't keep them from doing that. But you've got to keep working the ball away from them and get them leaning over the plate and then crowd them once in a while to keep them from leaning all the time. You can't go 100% all the way, Bob. You've got to move the ball around on both of them, and you've got to be lucky and do it at the right time.
Early, how does this thrill tonight compare with the other thrills that you've had in baseball?
Well, I was just telling Hank Greenberg over here, I think this one was much more enjoyable than the one we won in 54, because we did it with less power, and we did it with so many close ball games, and we did a lot with our pitching and our defense. I think it's a real thrill to me.
Well, I think of all the baseball teams that I've seen, there's as wonderful a spirit, if not a better one, on this team than any team I've seen in the majors.
I don't think you'd ask for a better one. It hasn't been just this way in the past few minutes. It's been that way all year, Bob.
It certainly has. Well, early, congratulations. I know you're tired, and thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Bob.
I want to get Bob Shaw. Bob, come here a minute. Bob Shaw has done a terrific job this year. He and early Wynn have been in games one, the leaders on the staff, and I was saying, toward the latter part of the broadcast when you were working, Bob, that you're about 100% improved pitcher over last year. How do you account for the big difference?
Well, Bob, the one thing that really helps you is when you play for a guy like Al Lopez, he gives you tremendous confidence. Plus the fact that with him and Barry's and Wynn and a few of the other guys, they have been able to teach me some of the fundamentals. And I worked on them hard this winter. And, of course, just having the opportunity to pitch regularly is another asset. But also playing for a defensive ball club like we have, they seem to take you out of a lot of tough situations. I say it's a matter of all.
I think it's on. I don't know, Al. I've been going here for 10 minutes. I hope that they're as happy as we are. Here's a American League Joe coming in here to congratulate Al Lopez. Chuck, congratulations. It's a great thrill. It's worth waiting for.
Oh, it sure was. Thanks, Joe.
Joe Cronin congratulating Chuck Comiskey and now Al Lopez. Chuck, I just congratulated you, Vec, Greenberg, and the entire organization for manipulating this ball club along with Lopez to a championship.
Fine. Well, it's been a long time building it up, Lou, to bring up some of these youngsters. Intermixed with those veterans that balanced off the club is just a great year for the White Sox.
Here's Hank Greenberg. Hank, come on up here, Hank. Yeah, come on up, Hank. You're television, my boy. You know what it is to win a championship. It's a great feeling,
oh,
isn't it?
Oh, boy, what a thrill, Lou, and what a ball game, and what a way to finish it up.
A lot of action in that ball game, and I think defensive play certainly enabled this ball club to win the championship.
Well, and that and the spirit of the ball club and the leadership of Lopez, I've never seen a fella lead a ball club the way he has. He's been a magic touch all the way through, Lou.
Well, I congratulated him also. I thought he manipulated his ball players superbly at the right moment, and he got his defensive ball club in there at the right time in the last three innings of this ball game.
He sure did, Lou. He's been doing it all season, and he deserved the victory, and so did the players. It was really a wonderful.
Thank you very much,
really
Hank.
Great.
Thank you. Lawler, Sherm Lawler, Sherm. Come here, Sherm. I don't know. Hello, Cal Hubbard, the American League supervisor of umpires, coming in to congratulate the fellas. Hello, thank you. Yes, sir. Sherm, come on up here, my friend. I want to say you've had a great year, and I think your handling of the pitchers has been a terrific job.
Well, thank you very much.
Sherm, they've had a lot of
contact. Has done a tremendous job. Hang up the way we did tonight. We've won a lot of ball games that way.
Well, Sherm, do you think this ball club was starting to feel a little pressure due to the fact that you've had so many one-run ball games?
Lou, I've been here 8 years now. We've always played. I don't know. I think the guys that have been here a few years, of course, we've never gone down to the wire this way. I think they were getting impatient. You know, we waiting every day, and the wonderful people in Chicago, they've been just great and been looking forward to this day. And every day it's going to be the day, and I've been more impatient than anything else.
It's here now, so
it's
they can
now.
Let go. Congratulations, boy. Nice going. Come on up here, Jackie. Come on, Jack. Rickhouse has just released himself from the television perch up there, and I think you're all relaxed. You haven't sweat a bit, Jack. You knew we were in all the way.
Listen, have you ever seen a clutch hit like this guy came up with down that right field line, Billy? Listen, we had it all figured out that you were going to catch in case Lawler was finally taken out of the game.
Well, I was already gone myself.
I wonder who would have caught if something had happened to Sherm.
Oh, we'd have come up with somebody. We have
you were
here.
Out of the ball game.
Would have got somebody.
Billy, you're a hard-bitten pro. Not a hard-bitten pro, but a veteran pro. You've been here before. Now, what's going on in your mind right now? That may sound like a light question, but I don't think so.
Not a thing. Just seems like everything is settled now until later on.
You know what time this guy got to this place today? 3 o'clock.
I met him going out of the hotel when I was coming in from lunch, Billy.
You know, the first time I had my shot at this thing, Lou beat us out, 48. So now maybe it was our turn.
Oh, wonderful. We're in good health. Lou, come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. This ought to collapse the thing. Here's Clue, big Clue. Oh, man. This thing is really sinking here. Get Bob Shaw, huh? This bedroom, dressing room is real bedlam here right now. There's no question about it. Clue, what did you think when Aparicio picked up that last one? Did you?
I hope that he'd get over there in time. I've been looking forward to this day for about 15 years, and it finally arrived.
I'll bet you out in Argo Summit right now, they're out of their mind.
I hope so, because I am right now.
Incidentally, I don't know whether you heard it or not, but we're going to all land at about, we figure about 1:15 Chicago time at the National Guard Terminal there at the airport at 63rd Street. And listen, I want to tell you something else. After Channel 9 signs off, you get over to WGN Radio, because we're going to come up with a real special broadcast 30 minutes out of Chicago, Clue, and you're going to be on it. We're going to go on the air on WGN high in that plane, 30 minutes out of Chicago. Just exactly when, we don't know, but why don't you stay with WGN from a little after midnight on?
Well, See you at the World Series, young
man. You betcha. Come on, Bob. Here's Bob Shaw. Hey, Lou, you take care of this young pitcher while I go get myself somebody else.
Yes, sir. And Jack, bring me back a Goebbels, will you? Or a Hams? I don't know. Well, Bob, you've done a great job in coming into relief. Tell me, was there any thrill in seeing that last double play?
Well, I think it's probably the greatest thing that I've ever seen. I mean, as far as being overjoyed at anything. It's a great feeling when I saw him make that double play at first.
I thought you threw a lot of good fastballs as sinking balls tonight. Did you stay with that mostly?
Yeah, I made up my mind that I was going to make them hit their way on if they got on. I didn't want to walk anybody, and I wanted to keep it down real low so they wouldn't hit the long ball on me. And as it turned out, I should have gotten one ball that went through the middle. And, of course, Louis had a little trouble. Nelly had a little trouble on his ball, but... we won it.
Well, that's great. You've done a great job. You've had a great year, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Know that you're the type of a youngster that's going to try to improve.
Right.
And improve each year, and you've got 20 games coming to you next year.
Thank you very
much.
Lots
of luck to you. Congratulations
on
a great job and a great year. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the fella that we tried to find earlier. He was hiding underneath the table. Nelly, get in here, my friend. Here's the second base combination of Nelly Fox and Louis Aparicio, one of the greatest in the game today. You put them on top of one another, and they only go about 6 feet. Nelly, how's it feel, boy?
Wonderful, just wonderful, Lou.
It's great to win them, and some of them come tough, don't they?
Well, we played them all year. I don't see... that's a great way to end it.
Well, was the one-run games piling up on you physically as well as mentally?
Well, I'll say this. I'm just glad it's over with.
I think I asked Lopez how much weight left his shoulder on that last double play. I imagine there's quite a bit of weight off of your shoulders now, isn't there, Louis?
Thank you.
Are you looking forward to a couple of days' rest?
Well, I just want to get in shape, still in shape for the World Series now. I don't want to stay out for about a couple of days. My legs maybe getting worse, and I just want to stay in shape.
Well, you're hitting that ball pretty good, so keep that timing. Nelly, you've had a great year. You've waited a long while to be on a championship ball club, and it's quite a thrill, isn't it?
It sure is. I'll say this. We have 25 guys that hustled all year, and a great job done by manager Al Lopez. He went a long ways. He's a great manager, and he's done a wonderful job.
Well, I think so, too. You're all kidding Nelly here. And you didn't get any base hits tonight, did you?
No, but I haven't. I don't know. I didn't need it.
You were going to go for defense tonight. You let Revere and Smith hit the long ball.
I'll tell you one thing. I wasn't very good defense.
Well, that infield was pretty well chopped up now. They had just played a football game here. The Bears and the Browns chopped that up pretty good, didn't they?
Yeah, but I have no excuse. It's just one of those things. I had two balls that was... One ball was a line drive. It took that short hop, and the other ball was, I just had to do or die. It's just one of those things.
Nelly, congratulations.
Thank
You've earned
much,
it, boy, and good luck, and go celebrate.
Thank you, Lou. I just want to say a few words. My wife, my mother, in-law looking at the TV now. I just want to tell
good.
You did it.
Good, you did
thank
it, boy.
Turk,
go get Jerry Taylor, will you, Lou? Here's Turk Loud. All set in that bullpen tonight. They didn't need him tonight, but, brother, were you zipping him in there? We were watching you through the binocs. When you were told to warm up, you jumped out there like you were 16 years old.
Yeah, but, Jack, we had the best relief pitcher in baseball go out there and get him out for us.
The guy we called Dad?
The guy I called Dad, my roomie, Jerry.
Well, Lou's going after him right now. Kirk, this is your very first winner, isn't it?
This is the first winner I've been on. I think Jerry and I were talking about it, Jack, before the game, and it's been his first, too. So we more or less had our fingers crossed, our toes crossed out there, and everything we could, so we could both have a chance to get on the first World Series.
Oh, man, this is just wonderful.
This is terrific,
Kirk,
isn't it?
Now that you look back on this year, what are some of the highlights going around in your mind? That four-game sweep the last time we were here, of course.
Well, that was the deciding factor, and I think that was our pennant right there when we took Cleveland four straight. I think Al came into Cleveland with the idea if we break even, we'd be all right.
Yeah.
But coming out of there four games and knocking their morale, there was no doubt about it. In my estimation, I think that was it.
Oh, this is the way to win the pennant, as Ray Berry just said, and Don Guttery beat them head-to-head.
Man, and I think that proved the winner this year. If I'm not mistaken, we're the only club that had the edge on Cleveland this year. I might be mistaken, but I think we have the
edge. Boy,
what an edge.
15 out of 22.
Boy, it's terrific, isn't it? What a feeling.
I guess we've lost a little light here. I hope we're still on, are we, Jake? Turk, I know you want to get yourself some real cold beer, and I don't blame you.
I sure do,
Jack. That champagne's going to be flowing,
I'm going to look for Jerry and get him up there for you.
Well, Lou Boudreau went over to get him. I'll tell you, we can do a little word for household finance right now while we're waiting for Jerry Staley to get away from the Botox here. They're doing it now.
think everybody on this club deserved it. We all fought hard all the way down.
That's right.
Everybody gave 100%.
Well, everybody's very happy about it, and congratulations, Al.
All right, thank you, Bob.
That was Al Smith. Downer's got Jim Landis here. Jim, you wound up with a type of injury that kept you out for a few days, but here tonight, I know I talked to you before batting practice, you said you wanted to play again. You didn't want to wait until the weekend.
I figured this was it, and I wanted to be in on it. That's for darn sure. I didn't want to miss this one.
Well, here's a young guy that certainly when the most valuable player voting comes around, there'll be a lot of widely distributed votes for a lot of White Sox players because all of you did a tremendous job. What about this series?
Well, the World Series you're talking about, I don't care who we play. I'm looking actually for L.A., naturally. There's a lot of money involved there, but since we're in it, I can't complain.
I wouldn't be surprised if they were open right now celebrating. Anyway, this is the guy who finished the whole job up. This is Jerry Staley. Jerry, I know you will never, as long as you live, see a more welcome double play ball hit.
No, Jack, I think that's the greatest thriller in my career in baseball. When I saw that last out was made, I could just cry.
Well, did you know when it left the bat that it had a good chance to be a double play ball?
I knew it when it was hit. It wasn't hit real sharp. I knew we had a chance of getting at least one. Uh-huh. If we could get two, that was great.
What goes on in your mind when you're being brought in from the bullpen in this spot, knowing that the whole championship depends on your performance?
Well, Jack, actually, tonight, I wasn't paying any attention to what was going on while I was warming up. And when I came in, I thought there was a man on first and third, and one run had scored, and there was one out. Well, when I got in there, I find out the bases are loaded, and there's still nobody scored, and there's still only one out. So I go, I'm in good position here. All I got to do is throw a double play ball.
That's what you thought. You sure you didn't want to turn around and run?
Well, I was praying.
Oh, that's wonderful. Who's the muscle man here?
That's when you're lucky.
Jimmy. Come on up here, buddy. Here's Jimmy Landis. Congratulations, Jim. You made it. Boy, you made it and you got in, huh?
Well, I was happy to be in this one, that's for sure. The biggest one of the season of my life, no doubt.
No question about it. Now, what does the doctor tell you about that thigh?
Well, the doc says I get a couple days rest and I'll be able to play in Detroit. From then on, I'll be all right.
Oh, thank you very much, Barry. I appreciate that. Censorship. Well, in other words, you'll play in Detroit just
right.
To keep in shape.
Right, I have to. The way I felt tonight, I better get back in shape.
Oh, that's wonderful. Did you feel strong out there while you were there?
Well, I was a little weak, which is natural. I mean, I've been in a hospital 6 days on my back for six straight days, so I was a little weak about it, but happy in the meantime.
Jimmy, bless you. You've had a wonderful year. You've been one of the real big cogs in a real successful year. Thank you, Jim, and welcome back. Who have you got here, buddy? Huh? Oh, Jimmy, without the goggles, you're hard to recognize. Looks like a matinee idol. Lou, hey, Lou, worry about this guy, will you? And I'm going to get somebody else.
All right.
Have we had Lopez yet?
Yes, I had him once or twice, but you can have him again. He can be here.
I just heard the best one.
Well, what is it, boy? It's quite a thrill, isn't it?
Oh, I can't tell you how much, Lou.
This is one night that you'll never forget as long as you live.
No, and I'm glad it's over, too. That heart wouldn't take much more.
Did you have a little feeling in that stomach?
I've had it all year.
All year?
Ever since I came
out. Well, you've had a great year. This is a great a start for you, and one that's tough. I don't think you could get in any tougher start for a youngster, could you?
No, I couldn't.
With one-run ball games when mistakes really meant something.
No, I couldn't.
You've had a great year. You've got a great future, boy. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Lou.
Fine. Well, the clubhouse, I'd like to get Cuccinello up here.
Hey,
Barry, come on, boy. Here's Barry Lantman, who's done a great job. It was Lopez's patience with you, Barry. And I know you're the speaker of this crew, and I know you've got a long speech that you'd like to make.
That's
so go
right.
ahead.
I say we're really living, Levine, and all my friends back in Chicago will be back later. Joey and all of them will be here. We'll see you all.
All right, Barry. All right. Where's Tony?
Hey,
get Tony.
Barry just told me the best one. Barry just told the best one while Pierce is coming up, Lou. Barry says, Ray Barry says, Shaw just came over and he says, fellas, he says, let's don't get too cocky. Remember, we got three more to play. Billy,
magic numbers,
like crazy, buddy.
Great ball game. Gee whiz, this is something. You know, I've been here 11 years, nothing like this. 15 years in baseball, this is the greatest.
the greatest. Well, tell me, Billy, when you've got a defense like the White Sox can put on that ball field, you pitch with a little confidence, don't you?
Oh, that's for sure, Lou. It makes a pitcher have 100% more confidence. He can get the ball in there. He's not afraid to. And subsequently, he doesn't walk anybody, and the boys take care of the ball once they hit it.
Well, that's true, and it's the way it's been all year. Actually, this has been a team, a victory of one run for the championship, I would say. This is perhaps the best one-run team that I've ever seen.
Well, naturally, in my belief, it's the greatest. Oh, that was great.
It's a great thrill, isn't it?
It is a tremendous thrill. I know how you must have felt, 48 and stuff. This is great.
Yes, it is. Well, maybe this is just a start, and we can make it two in a row starting next year.
We certainly hope so.
Let's look forward to a World's Championship in Chicago, Billy. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Lou. Thank you very much.
Nice going, Billy. HFC is bringing you the 10th inning from the dressing room of the American League champion Chicago White Sox, who've just beaten the Cleveland Indians by a score of 4-2 here at Cleveland. In one of the most thrilling finishes that anybody ever saw, climaxed by, among other things, the home run ball by Rivera and by Smith, and by great pitching by Wynn, by Shaw, and by Staley, and by some defensive play that should put somebody in the Hall of Fame. It was the fourth double play that did it, and here's Bubba Phillips, who scored all the way from first base on a double by Louie, and he began to feel it was the Sox night the minute you did that, kid.
Well, Jack, it's a wonderful feeling. All the boys are really happy. And it's real good coaching by Cuccinella at third base. He gave me the go sign with the ball going in second base, and that's how I was able to score.
You know, that strong arm of yours paid off in that, was it the ninth inning when you made that throw, or was it the eighth?
Wait a minute here.
That one put out. That was in the
seventh or eighth inning, Jack.
In the seventh inning on Ballo.
Well, I was playing the ball real careful, so I would make sure I'd catch the ball.
Man, you fired that thing. He had a real big jump on that slow roller.
Well, he went too fast.
Bubba, did you think that this early in your baseball career you'd be with a champion?
No, I didn't, but I tell you, we owe a lot of credit to Lopez. He did a wonderful job with us. And also to that Staley throwing that last pitch, that was a big pitch.
Now, from where you were playing at third base there, did you just kind of know that was a double play ball when it left that bat?
No, I didn't, but when I saw Louis catch that ball, I knew he was going all the way with it.
Did you begin to get a little nervous with the bases filled?
Well, I'll tell you, I didn't know how we were going to get out of it, but I'm certainly glad we did.
Well, Bubba, I hope that beautiful bride of yours is watching right now. If I have a hunch, she probably is.
I feel sure she is, and I expect she's jumping up and down right now.
I want to repeat. Hey, Johnny, what do you want to do? Do you want to talk? Mr. Romano would like to make a speech. Hey.
That's my roomie.
Are you getting one of those southern accents from him there, John?
Yeah, you know what that umpire had the nerve to say? He said me and him look alike.
This is Johnny Romano, the rookie catcher, who started the ball game tonight in place of Lawler. And let me ask you something, John. Were you kind of surprised to get that starting call tonight?
I'll tell you, I was so surprised that I was shaking through the whole five innings. I mean it, I was
shaking.
When that guy came in and scored home plate, and we got on the home plate, I couldn't hold my hand still.
You held him still enough to beat him, I'll tell you that. When Manoso scored, you mean?
Huh? Yeah, geez, that was great.
This thing is getting a little bit great, isn't it? Johnny, congratulations. We'll see you on the plane. We'll all fly back together. We may not even need an engine.
Well, Jack, we're going to be a little late, as you can see. These fellas haven't taken
off
many of their uniforms. And this is one night that they'll never forget. They've deserved it. Let's give it to them, Jack. But we're going to be a little late arriving in Chicago.
Just one more I want to repeat right now. Rivera, get out of there, you big clown. I want to repeat once more that the boys are going to be back home about 1:15, 1:30. Tilt down. Let's get this cha-cha-cha. Jim Rivera, what a man. All right, Jungle, thank you very much. So we can keep the license, let's return it now. Thank you on behalf of HFC. We'll see you back in Chicago. The boys are coming in at 1:15 at the Illinois National Guard Army there at 63rd Street. And tune over to WGN Radio and catch our broadcast from 30 minutes on in on that plane live on WGN Radio. A real fancy hookup. Jack Brickhouse along with Lou saying thanks on behalf of HFC. And we'll see you at home, we hope, in a couple of hours.